Just the Cats on Talk Radio 1080. Now here's every Wildcat's best friend, Michael Bennett, alongside Shannon the Dude.
Hello, Big Blue Nation. This is Just the Cats. My name's Michael Bennett. Alongside with Shannon the Dude here today, a couple of days before Thanksgiving, as we look at November 24th, 2020. This year can't end soon enough, I'm going to tell you right now. But if you'd like to give us a call, 502-571-1080, you can tweet me at Just the Cat Radio. How are you doing, Shannon the Dude?
Doing just fine, Michael. I know it's a rough day for you, and I'm sorry for your loss of your pet of 19 years, Belmont. So
that's the thing about it. I mean, the doctor and his assistant yesterday told us this is the oldest lab we've ever had in our practice. And this is like, oh, yeah, but that doesn't – okay, great. But it doesn't help me.
Yeah, it doesn't, matter how old your dog is. You're more connected to it at that point.
Absolutely. I mean, this is the first time in, let me think, 25 years I haven't had a dog in this house. And we haven't had a dog in this house.
Yeah.
And it's a bummer. So, but oh, well. You know how you tell the sign of a great pet owner?
How's that?
How much you miss him afterwards.
And yeah.
I'm not going to lie to you. I was emotional. I mean, it was a bummer of a day yesterday. But anyway, let's move on. Let's move on to happier things. And hopefully there are some out there. But according to Cal, there's not too many happy things going on right now with the basketball team. You know, the big news I would have to say coming out of yesterday is that four or five people are really disappointed that one team had to bow out.
Yeah,
and that's Detroit Mercy.
Right.
I kid about this, but I'm sure it's disappointing to them that Brad doesn't get to come home and play in front of Rupp Arena. But it's not like it was going to be a normal game anyway, and see him play. But if you're asking me, I probably would be more disappointed if it was a more competitive team like Richmond that had to bow out.
Yeah. Well, they had, I think this whole thing was kind of designed just to get Brad back to Rupp Arena to play a game.
Of course it was.
And I don't have any problem with that. I think that's okay. I mean, if you had a kid and you were the coach at Kentucky, you'd probably try to do the same thing, wouldn't you?
Probably.
If your kid transferred.
I guess. But here's the problem I have is the head coach. It's Mike Davis. And Mike Davis, as you know.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Calipari. I was going to say, wait a minute.
No, I would never
problem
say
that.
Problem
I have
that.
Is the head coach.
My gosh. No, I'm talking about Mike Davis.
Yeah.
Because he played at Alabama, coached at Alabama, coached at IU, and he always talked about his just complete dislike, even upwards of hatred for Kentucky. So I'm like, okay. We don't help IU anymore. We obviously have that rivalry with them, and they're not a competition. Why do we want to help somebody that does not like Kentucky?
Well, it wasn't for Mike Davis. Again, it was for Brad Calipari.
Yeah. But again, leave it at that. I'm sure it's disappointing, but I'm glad it's still a Richmond team that we're going to be able to see, okay, what kind of team is this? Because according to Cal yesterday, he did a Zoom media conference yesterday. And according to Cal yesterday, Shannon, he is ready to put his hands and his feet on the panic button.
Really? I didn't hear that.
Yes. According to Cal, the Wildcats had their worst scrimmage since he's been the head coach at Kentucky this past Sunday.
Well, I mean, if it looked anything like we saw at Big Blue Madness, just running up and down the floor, dunking on each other and everything else. Well, actually, they weren't dunking on each other. They were just flying up and down the floor.
Well, yeah, but I mean, do you look at that and do you think, okay, this is not really a practice or a game?
Well, we didn't get the blue-white scrimmage. I was expecting a somewhat competitive game, but I tune into that and I'm like, why am I watching this? It looks like the NBA All-Star game.
Well, exactly.
I feel like that's a wasted opportunity right there if you're talking about not having a good scrimmage. Well, there was about, 30 minutes to an hour. You could have used that for some real time to practice.
Well, I mean, you look at that and you think, okay, aren't you a little nervous that you don't want anybody to get injured? But
Yeah, absolutely. But you can't play scared. I mean, you can't practice scared.
Right.
And I get it. You don't want to do anything stupid that's going. And I'm not saying they should just go, straight up balls to the wall against each other. But, I mean, give it a little bit of competitiveness.
Didn't it happen a few years back, right before the team came out for Big Blue Madness? One of the players got injured in the locker room, kind of doing something silly.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
I think so, yeah.
I don't remember who the player was, but it seems like there was something that happened right before Big Blue Madness. They were coming out on Rupp Arena,
yeah,
or in Rupp Arena, and somebody was goofing off, and then they injured their knee, their ankle, something like that.
And you're just as likely to get injured doing something in the locker room like that,
yes,
than you are out there playing the game.
Right. All right, so to that point, you feel like they should have been playing as hard in that scrimmage as they do in practice.
Well, I mean, just give us something. I just feel like that, yeah, was just a complete waste of time.
Yeah, it was.
I don't know. I don't think they got anything out of that. I don't think the fans got anything out of that. I know,
yeah,
I didn't. If you,
yeah,
did, maybe you know, maybe you're different. Maybe you liked
no,
it.
No, listen, I enjoyed the 3-point shooting because, yep, it was fun to see how David Mintz really shot the ball.
We know he's going to be our guy. We know he's going to be our guy if we need a three at the end of the game. Who's going to take that shot? Maybe he or Olivier Saar. One of those two.
Olivier Saar, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, he looked just as good. Well, not just as good, but pretty stinking good shooting from out there.
Yeah.
I mean, if he wants to get himself into the NBA, I mean, that's going to be a nice shot that he could add to his repertoire like Anthony Davis has done.
I don't know how much Cal's going to allow him to get out there and shoot that shot. Probably not very often, but,
never,
you know, if you're in a pinch, maybe,
yeah,
you do.
Yeah, if you are wide open and nobody's around you, then shoot the ball. That's what my high school coach told me one time during a ball game. Michael, I don't care if there's nobody around you. Do not shoot the ball. You pass it. So,
yeah,
anyway. But
we mentioned injuries. Now, Keon Brooks is out for the first week of the season.
Yeah, I saw that. Now, because he looked good Friday night. He didn't look because he's got this ongoing calf problem. Now, Shannon, is that the reason he's not playing? Or I've had a couple of people tell me, and I'm not going to tell you what they're saying, but I'm going to say there might be some other reasons why he's not playing this week. Could that be the case?
I don't know what you're talking about. You got some scoop. You're not scoop. You're not sharing your scoop. I don't know what you mean.
Yeah, I know. I don't really want to
talking in hieroglyphics.
Please stop that. This is not that show.
What show?
Okay, this is JTC. So, by the way, nothing. I'm not going to say anything about that. But anyway, do you feel like he is out still with the cat? Well, you can't say. Okay, never mind. Just forget it. I don't know how to ask.
I don't know what else he would be out for.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what your scoop is that you won't share.
I don't really have any scoop. It's not necessarily that.
You've got rumor and innuendo.
Yes, exactly. And that's the reason I don't want to say the reason other people are believing he's out. So anyway, but let's talk about a couple other things. So Cal said, you know,
way to make that awkward.
I know. I don't mean to make it awkward. Stop it. But 3 weeks ago, Cal said they hadn't had a bad practice yet.
Yeah.
We're kind of getting, as a fan base, kind of worn out from the whole Cal talk, aren't we?
I mean, aren't we used to it by now?
Yeah, but there's a point.
I don't know. He's a politician, man. He really is.
Exactly. I'm telling you right now, this is my prediction. When Cal is done at Kentucky, he might go coach for a couple years.
Yep.
In a NBA team, but I'm telling you right now, his biggest aspiration is to run for office.
Is that true? Or is that some more of your rumor and innuendo you're spouting out this morning?
That's probably more rumor and innuendo right there.
Okay.
But I'm telling you right now, I guarantee he would, if he gave an honest answer, his biggest goal in life would become a politician.
I feel like you have a lot that you're not telling me.
Maybe
you're keeping secrets on me or something. I don't know what's going on with you this morning.
That. Who knows? Who knows? But we got a lot to talk about. Of course, we got a ball game tomorrow night with the basketball team. Looking forward to seeing them play Morehead State. And then, of course, we got Florida on Saturday, and this is a short week. We're only on today and tomorrow, and then we're off all week. So we got to talk about a whole bunch of stuff because, you know, Mark Stoops had his media conference yesterday. We got to talk about a few of the things he said. And then I want to know when we come back, would you do this for your dog? Let's talk about that as soon as we get back. 502-571-1080 if you want to give us a call, or you can tweet me at Just the Cat Radio. We'll be right back. This is Just the Cats.
They hunted alligator for living. It just knock them in the head with a stone.
Thanks for listening to Just the Cats on Talk Radio 1080.
It ain't legal hunting alligator down in the swamp, boy.
502-571-1080 if you want to give us a call, or you can tweet me at Just the Cat Radio, which I'll get to a few of your tweets in just a minute. But I got to say, I do appreciate the Shannon. A lot of people have reached out to me and say, so sorry for your loss. I just got one from Jamie. And it's really nice, the people that have done this. I mean, I just simply put up a picture last night and said it's been a tough day at the Bennett household. So, and I got a lot of messages, and I really appreciate that. But, all right, let's talk about this because, you know, as much as I love my dog, there's a guy down in Florida. Did you see this?
I did.
Okay. It's a little, what I like to call a little rat dog. I'm a big dog guy, and this is a little dog, but he let the dog run around the pond or something, and a alligator came up and got it.
Yeah.
And took it back down to the water and goes underwater. This guy comes down there, runs in the water, and, I mean, literally goes underwater to get this alligator. And it's probably only a three or four foot alligator. And literally opens his mouth to get the dog named Gunner out of there.
Yeah, he actually tore his hand up in the process. And the dog, I think his hand got more damage than the dog did. The dog only had one little puncture wound. They took it to the vet. Dog's going to be just fine. My favorite part about this whole thing, and if you haven't seen it yet, look it up. This guy runs out there and jumps in the water. He has a cigar hanging out of his mouth. And the entire process of him wrestling with this alligator and prying this gator's mouth open, the cigar never falls out of his mouth.
No, it doesn't.
And it just goes to show you that not all heroes wear capes. Some of them have a pot belly and a cigar hanging out of their mouth. And if we're being real about it, wouldn't we all like to be rescued by somebody like that?
Well, very much so. I mean, I love the smell of a good cigar. There's something different about cigarettes and cigars. I don't like the smell of cigarettes, but I love cigars, and nobody smokes pipes anymore. I always loved
it. Our grandfather did.
See, my dad did when I was a little kid. He would smoke this cherry tobacco, and it smelled so good.
Yeah.
What's it about cigarettes that smell? So, anyway, I'm with you. That's the part that I took out of it. It's not the fact that he saved his little dog, Gunner, but it's the fact that he had a cigar in his mouth the entire time. I mean, going underwater and everything.
Yeah. I think he was still puffing on it when it came out.
Yeah. Well, I think he learned a lesson because, listen, you don't let those kind of dogs run around a pond. There's alligators all over Florida when it comes to the water.
Yeah.
So.
You wouldn't have done that for Belmont? I mean, first of all, let's break it down. A 3-foot alligator is not dragging Belmont into the water.
No, no.
Belmont was a big boy.
Yeah, Belmont was 97 pounds.
It would take a full-size gator to even come close to dragging Belmont into the water. You wouldn't jump out there with your cigar in your mouth?
Well, I got the pot belly. That's for certain.
Yeah.
I'd hate to waste a good, you know, a good Cuban.
Okay, but regardless, you wouldn't go out there and save Belmont?
I don't know what I would do. I guess because that's a quick reaction type of situation.
Yeah, it's fight or flight.
Obviously, the dog was a goner. It would have suffocated under the water. I would like to say I would, but, I mean, the only thing that would have saved Belmont was probably one of his room-clearing farts. That's the only thing I can think of that would do it, because he certainly had those.
Yeah.
But, would you do it for your grandmother's little dog?
I think I would. Yeah, I think I would, because the gator's already got its mouth full.
Yes.
So, I mean, it's not going to bite you. I mean, maybe it will once you prod its mouth open, but.
Well, yeah. That's the whole issue.
But we're not talking about a 20-foot gator. We're talking about a 3-footer.
Right. So it's just a little premature alligator.
Which could probably still bite your arm off if it wanted to, but it's not going to kill you. I don't think. I don't think it would.
No, I don't think it would, but you certainly could lose a hand. You could lose a hand.
My biggest fear would be that the mom gator would see what's going on, and then it would be over.
Yeah.
For everybody.
Now, that's an issue because, you know, there goes Gunner. Gunner, that little alligator's got Gunner in his appetizer, and then the mom comes along. Guess what? You're a goner now. Although, you don't have much meat on your bones, so they might not like you anyway.
It's all muscle.
Skinny little dude. Yeah, and probably doesn't like the taste of your hair gel or anything like that. Let's talk hair about gel. This.
Okay, come over, boy.
What? It's not come over. It's just, I have a side part. Stop that. All right, so yesterday, Mark Stoops was interviewed for his weekly pre-game conference. And so he had a lot to say yesterday. And the first thing that came out of his mouth is, I don't want to make any excuses. And I appreciate that. There are times, though, I really want to see my head football coach or basketball coach upset. I think we see that out of Cal. Have we seen Mark Stoops really get upset?
I've seen him upset quite a bit on the sidelines during the games. But yeah, I mean,
yes.
You know, you're talking to him after the game, and a lot of times they've had time to cool off. But yeah, I see Stoops getting fired up a lot. You know, the camera will cut over to the sidelines, and he's chewing somebody out.
Right, and you can say, man, I don't want to be around there. That's the last place I'm going to be around. But, you know, when it comes to the press conference after a game or a couple of days after a game, don't you want to see your head coach upset, though? I mean,
I think he's professional, man. I think that's it.
Yeah. So you're okay with him not getting upset?
I do not doubt the desire or I don't doubt Stoops and say he doesn't have enough fire. He's got the fire and desire. Let's spell it like
fire.
That.
The fire. He's got the fire and desire.
He's got the fire and desire, and he's raring to go. Yeehaw!
There you go.
Yeah.
And see, I kind of want to see him upset. I mean, you know, I always...
Well, you want him to just come in and knock over somebody's water bottle?
I probably do. I probably want him to come see and hit me across the head and say, I'm mad. He did say this was a... I'm not going to say the word, but he did say, what kind of a show is that? This is a poop show. And, of course, he wanted to use the other word, and he didn't use it. But he's kind of right. This has been kind of a poop show, hasn't it?
What, the entire season?
Well, just the game. This past weekend.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah.
So, listen, he didn't come up with any excuses, nor should he. He goes, I get paid a lot, and this is the pressure I should be under. But we did have a lot happen last week, and we have had to face a lot of adversity this year. You know, we talked about it briefly yesterday. Shannon, I kind of agree with him. It's been a lot to handle for these young men.
Oh, it has, no doubt about it. But, I mean, Alabama is Alabama, and I think regardless of what you got going on, you're going to lose to Alabama 9.5 times out of 10.
Well, if you go back and look at this game, obviously, you know, you and I both picked that UK was going to lose. So just a few select die-hard fans pick UK to win. What would have made you happy if we scored at least one touchdown, or would it have taken more? And plus, is it us scoring and then defending as well and not allowing Alabama? Well, I mean, what combination would have made you happy with that game?
If you score 40 points but you give up 100, it's not really that good of a game, is it?
So you have to
defend it. So, I mean, it was just a all systems fail game against Alabama. I mean, the defense didn't do their job. The offense didn't do their job. If Kentucky covered the 30-point spread, I would have been happy.
Yeah.
And I would have also put my $100 down over there at the boat.
That's right. You're not going to do it again this weekend, are you?
No.
Because I'm telling you right now, I don't see the score prediction or the
point spread?
Point spread is going to be coming down. I see. If anything, you feel like it might go up.
Probably so, yeah.
I don't know. It's funny how the guys out in Las Vegas pick this stuff. And the thing is, they're generally right. How do they do that?
Well, those buildings didn't build themselves.
Well, that's the old saying. You're exactly
somebody
correct.
Knows what they're doing out there. Yeah. A lot of times they hit it right on the money, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you saw what was the game last week? There was it may have been an NFL game.
Right.
Maybe in the Browns. I can't remember exactly who it was.
Okay.
But it was the difference in the point spread. Guy had just a breakaway touchdown. Like, nobody was even close, and he ran out of bounds at the one-yard line. And that would have been the difference in the spread right there.
Oh, my. So you wonder, maybe they had a little money on it, maybe?
I don't know. I just don't know why you wouldn't go into the end zone at that point.
By the way, did you watch the Raiders game on Sunday Night Football?
No.
The introduction had Wayne Newton. And, man, he sounded... Well, I guess he is kind of old, but he sounded bad. So, anyway.
Well,
you know who Wayne Newton is, though, right? I'm just making sure.
Yeah, he's a singer and an actor.
Yeah, I wouldn't say an actor, but he's an entertainer.
Been in certain things.
The movies he's been in. Only thing I can think of that he's been in was Las Vegas Vacation or whatever that one was called. Vegas Vacation.
Make him an actor.
Okay, well, if you can call that acting, there you go. So let's take our next break, 502-571. Still a lot more to talk about. I want to address some more basketball stuff when we get back, but this is Just the Cats. We'll be right back.
Back to Just the Cats on Talk Radio 1080.
I'm waiting for it. There we go. Now, see, I like the sound of that right there. That's a good song. That's one of your more favorite songs, is that fair to say?
I don't know. I like every Stone Temple Pilots song.
Okay. All right. Well,
yeah, I haven't heard one I didn't like.
I understand that. But you got to have some. Like, because, you know, everybody knows Jimmy Buffett's my favorite.
Yeah.
And there are songs that it's like, oh my gosh, they get played way too much. This is one of those songs I think is one of the more iconic Stone Temple Pilots songs. Jimmy Buffett, the more iconic songs are not my favorite songs. I've got songs that you probably never heard of.
Yeah. They get overplayed, and you tend to listen to the songs that didn't make it on the radio, and then you end up liking those even more.
Yeah, yeah. The one thing that he did do that he's just released within the last week or two is Jimmy Buffett did release an album that said Songs You Don't Know By Heart.
Yeah.
Because he had his Best Of a few years back, Songs You Know By
he's
Heart.
Putting his B-sides out.
I like that. I kind of like that because I know probably I would guess your favorite Stone Temple Pilot songs are songs that are probably those B-sides. Is that fair?
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right then.
But they don't really write B-sides. They write hits.
Okay,
that's all they write. Okay, and don't ever try to send that blasphemy of Jimmy Buffett's version of Mele Kalikimaka is better than Bing Crosby. No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
Stop right now with that.
It is. It is better.
I will shut that down quicker than anything. Bing Crosby's version of that song is the only version of the song that matters.
Because you got your hand on the music button over there, and you can play whatever you want. I'm telling you right now, Jimmy Buffett's version's Mele Malika Kaka, or whatever
it's called,
is a much better version than Bing Crosby. Yes,
false.
It is.
I will turn this show off right now, and we'll get Tom Leach in here to start the show early. Give him an hour and a half today. One more time.
Well, it is.
No.
It's better. Yes, it is.
Yeah, you're done. You're done. You're all right.
I knew we would turn into a marriage because you're treating me like my wife right now. So, no, I'm not going to behave. I know I'm right. Let's talk about
something that people want to talk about.
Yeah, I know. Austin McGinnis. Can we talk? Well, I don't know if we want to talk about it or not. It's really frustrating to watch every kicker out there in the NFL continue to miss kicks, and yet his own team, the Rams, go with this other young man, which I'm sure he's a nice guy. But, and there's an SI writer, a Sports Illustrator writer, that wrote before the season started that Austin McGinnis is the kicker for the Rams, and yet the Rams let him go. Then they picked him up because the kicker they went with got an injury, and he's on injury reserve now. Then they put Austin on the practice team. Then they go with somebody else. And what happens last night versus the Buccaneers?
I was watching the game, and I saw their kicker. I don't even know what his name was. But
Gay. It's Gay.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what his name is.
I don't remember what his first name is.
His name's on Austin McGinnis, and he missed the field goal. And I was thinking, man, Austin would have knocked that down. Didn't you think that when he missed it? I was thinking, man, they should have had Austin in there.
I'm going to tell you right now, it infuriated me. For the life of me, I don't understand. Now, I understand that what has happened is that more teams want kickers that can kick the ball further for kickoffs. Well, apparently Austin McGinnis can't do that. But you know what? Are kickoffs more important or field goals more important? You tell me, Shannon.
Well, I mean,
it's a dumb question.
Well, I mean, you could argue that you got a guy who can't kick the ball to the end zone or at least, you know, close to the 20-yard line, that giving up field position every time would be, detrimental. But I think that I don't see Austin McGinnis having trouble with kickoffs like that. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. The guy can kick a 55-yard field goal, but he can't kick off.
Right.
50 or 60 yards?
Yeah. I don't understand. I'm absolutely speechless.
I don't get it.
When it comes to this, I don't get it either. I truly don't, and I wish somebody would just give him a chance.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
You all right?
No, I'm not.
Don't get hot about it.
I know. Well, it's the whole Mele Kalikimaka or whatever that thing is. You upset me about that. But this whole Austin McGinnis thing upsets me too. Yeah. All right, so now we got two more teams within the SEC that have had to put basketball on pause. You got Tennessee announced yesterday and Ole Miss announced yesterday morning.
Mm-hmm.
Shannon.
There's going to be a lot of this going on. I mean, we're seeing it, and the season hasn't even started yet. You know, let me ask you this.
All right, I'm ready.
I know you like predictions.
Yes.
Go ahead and go on record right now. How many regular season games does Kentucky get to play in basketball this season?
How many are total? Is it 20 games? Is that right?
No, it's like 27, 28.
Is it that many?
Yeah, I think
okay.
So, yeah.
I'm going to guess 22.
Okay. That's not too bad.
What are you thinking?
If it keeps going like this, six.
Oh, my God.
No, I think they'll play more than that.
I think you're serious about that. Don't go back on that. I think you are serious that they're only going to be six
no,
games.
No. They'll play more than that. I think you're probably closer to it. I think it probably 23, something like that.
You got to believe it's just a matter of time that UK is going to come down with a case, and they're going to have to pause basketball.
Well, it's regardless of whether or not they come down with a positive case. It's the teams that you're playing.
Well, that too.
There's two teams in the SEC right there.
Right.
So let's say you got Tennessee and Ole Miss back-to-back. I don't know Kentucky's basketball schedule by heart. I'd have to look it up.
Right.
Let's just say you do. There's two games gone right there.
Right.
And then if anybody else gets it, well,
they're just more games.
And they say they're not going to make these games up.
No, and you're right about that. It's the fact that, hey, listen, it might not be because we're getting it. It might be because the teams are playing against you. You're exactly right.
Now,
so I might increase my number to even higher number that we or lower number of games we get to play.
Let me give you this scenario.
All right.
We're getting close to March Madness.
Yes.
You got a team that is on the bubble.
Yeah.
And then they decide to opt out of a game, kind of like what Florida State did to Clemson. They've got a team maybe that they're scared to play, then they opt out because if they lose, they have one more loss on their resume, they may not make March Madness.
Yeah.
Are you going to have that going on? Or,
yes, you are.
Or let's say you get into the – I guess they're going to have to test all these teams before they get into the bubble, but let's just say somehow somebody, the trainer on a team, you know, test positive for the virus.
Right.
And you got a game coming up in the tournament. What happens then? Do you have to forfeit? You can't be rescheduling March Madness tournament games.
No.
That would turn into a complete mess. Yeah. I would think you'd have to forfeit the game.
Yeah. You know, go back to what Mark Stoops said about the game on Saturday. It would be a complete poop show when it comes
I think it is going to be.
Yeah.
What if you got a team that's undefeated and they have one player test positive?
And they're number one in the country.
And they get knocked off by a 16 seed. I mean,
yeah.
There's just so many what ifs. It sounds crazy. But what I'm saying is that very well could be a reality in this season. You could see crazy stuff like that happen.
Yeah, and you got to hope that of all the teams, you don't want Kentucky to get this. I mean, you feel kind of good about
this. You don't want
team.
Anybody to get it.
Well, exactly. You don't want anybody to get it, but I'm kind of biased. I don't want Kentucky to get it more than anybody else.
Yeah.
Because Cal was talking about yesterday in his media conference, he's going to change up how the team approaches a game, and it looks like they're not going to be traveling the day before. They might be traveling the day of a game. You think that could possibly have an effect on the team, or you think these guys are young enough, it shouldn't have any issue whatsoever?
Well, I mean, they're used to playing games back-to-back in the tournament anyway, right?
Well, yes, but they're not used to leaving the day of a ball game.
Yeah.
You know, they usually leave the day before, and they get acclimated to the area they're in, get a nice, good night's
Well, you're not going to get all that. I mean, this is
– No, you're not.
We've talked about it. This is going to be an unfair situation for a lot of teams.
Yeah.
You're going to have teams in the tournament this year who have probably only played about 12 games, and you're going to have some teams that have played a full season or close to it.
Well, Cal seems to think these teams are getting it from either their meal rooms, hotels, planes, or buses.
You don't know where you're getting it.
You don't. You really don't. And I tell you what, right now, I can't wash my hands enough.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I'm trying to do constantly. And I am trying to. But, you know, you look at Tom Izzo. You look at some of these other guys that are out there. It's like, I have done everything I am supposed to, and I still got it.
How many times do you wash your hands a day?
Oh, my gosh. Normally, that's a good question. I don't know on a normal situation. Probably 10 times a day in a normal day. Now, I'm probably washing them 20, 25 times.
Oh, my gosh.
I am not.
You're just hanging over the sink all day.
I am. And not only that, I'm using hand sanitizer every time. Patricia bought me this little foam thing that you push down at the top. It looks like shaving cream comes out. And it's a hand sanitizer. I had gotten away from going to the gas station, filling up with gas, and washing my hands.
You're washing your hands down to the bones.
You daggone right.
I've been washing mine quite a bit, too. I mean, since this whole thing started. I'm like that meme that says I've washed my hands so many times I've uncovered the Phoenixville Tavern stamp on my hand from 20 years ago.
That's a great line right there. All right, well, to tell you what, the one stamp we definitely need to get is Cornbread Hemp and cornbreadhemp.com. If you're in the need for any kind of CBD products, there's only one place to go. And you know what? If you got these reasons for CBD, and that's pain, anxiety, and you need better sleep, CBD oil is the best thing to utilize for those types of situations. And cornbreadhemp.com has your specific product, whatever you need. They are certified organic CBD oil and Kentucky Proud, which I love about it. Two cousins founded this company, Jim Higdon and Eric Zipperly. If you know, you probably know Jim because he wrote the book Cornbread Mafia, which is out a few years back. And boy, is he an interesting guy to talk to. But they do a great job. They got a great company and a great product. Cornbreadhemp.com is the place to go. What am I missing, Shannon?
Well, I mean, you said it right there. I would just tell anybody who's interested in this, just go to the website, cornbreadhemp.com. They've got the CBD oil. They got the creams, the capsules, even CBD for your pets. They got a holiday gift box and different bundles that you can get if you're wanting to give this as a gift for the holiday season. Right now, they've got 30% off Black Friday early access. If you go to the website, you can unlock that deal just by throwing in your email address. So much there. Just go check out the website. You can learn all about their product. And it's cornbreadhemp.com, Michael.
Yep, you got it. CATS 25% off. We'll be right back. This is Just the Cats.
Thanks for listening to Just the Cats on Talk Radio 1080.
See, there you go. You're talking smack to me, and you're just throwing this in my face.
Well,
this is not the better version.
This is the only version that matters.
No, in your mind, it is.
Is Jimmy Buffett's version of this in Christmas Vacation? I don't think so. Bing Crosby's is. Nothing.
Okay. Well, there is a movie out there. Jimmy Buffett's version in it. Yes. So,
well, it's probably a terrible movie.
Listen, this is. Oh, and Christmas Vacation was better. Listen,
yeah.
I love Christmas Vacation.
Is one of the best Christmas movies of all time.
But you and I like the same kind of movies, and I call them stupid funny movies because they're bad movies.
I like dumb comedy. So what?
And so do I. I mean, I've watched yesterday. I texted somebody because a certain movie was on called 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Yeah,
and
one of my
there
favorites.
It is, and there it is. And I texted you, and you knew exactly what I was saying. I'd say that's one of those. I've watched Step Brothers probably for the 50th time over the weekend.
All right.
Dinner with Schmucks. That's another one. It is such a bad movie. But what do we do when normal times when I'm sitting there
we
in the studio?
About it.
We're laughing about
yeah.
it.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
Anyway, Christmas Vacation, I put up there with it. Michael, this is coming from Trey. Michael, I could have you playing that song, Mele Kaliki Maka, on a ukulele in 30 minutes or less and memorize your family. How do you like that? Is there any way I could learn that song in 30 minutes or less?
Probably not, but I mean,
exactly.
Maybe you could. I don't know. Maybe it's easy. I don't know. I never played a ukulele.
Come on. Isn't a ukulele pretty much a guitar except a tiny one?
Yeah, I would think it would be harder to play.
It is?
I would think. I play guitar, but I don't play ukuleles.
Yeah, because an electric guitar is easier to play than an acoustic guitar, correct?
Yeah.
So maybe a ukulele would be a little. I just think of ukulele as a little toy guitar. I don't know. But I'd like that challenge. I'd like to see if I could play it in 30 minutes or less.
Okay.
So
maybe we'll do that one day when we got nothing to talk about.
You think so? Okay. All right, then. What were we talking about at break and you wanted to bring up? That's Undertaker.
We were talking about would you pay however much to have your cardboard cut out at Rupp Arena.
Yes.
And I was telling you that I know you're not a big wrestling fan, but over the weekend at Survivor Series, The Undertaker came out and he did his final farewell 30 years later after his first appearance in the WWE. But then a day later, I see that he's on Cameo, and for $1,000, you can have The Undertaker do a personalized cameo for you. And I've got one pulled up if you want to hear a little bit of it.
Oh, you got one?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, play it. Oh,
this is just for some random person named Sebastian.
Okay.
Here we go. Hello, Sebastian. It's The Undertaker. And your mom reached out to me. She told me you started a new school this year. In fact, she also said that you were quite the baseball player. So, The Undertaker to you, Sebastian, I want to wish you the most merry of all Christmases. Your mom loves you very much.
Okay.
Hold on.
Well, it wouldn't be Christmas.
It's almost at the end.
Rest.
There you go. So for $1,000, I guess you can have, I don't know, the Undertaker come on and give you the results of your coronavirus test. Maybe he can come on and give you your paternity test results and tell you you're not the father.
That's it right there. Yes. Yes. See, that would be
Hello,
a perfect
Michael
one.
Bennett. It's the Undertaker. I have the results. You're not the father.
Maury Povich, that's who should be on there. And I would probably pay $1,000. I know you love The Undertaker and wrestling. I would pay $1,000 to have Maury Povich call you up and say, Shannon, you are the father.
No.
Yes.
All right.
That would be the all-time greatest right there. Let's go to the phone lines. 502-571-1080. Who's up?
TJ.
TJ, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, fellas? Hey, you know, I was stationed at Pearl Harbor for 3 years, and I got so tired of that song, man. Like, they played it on repeat on every single radio station from November to January. Malik Likimaka, man,
That's why they should have mixed it up, and you would have probably loved the Jimmy Buffett version a lot more than the Bing Crosby version. I'm telling you right now.
Hey, maybe so. Hey, look, you know, we always play Florida close. I think except for 1 year in the Mark Stoops era, we got blown out. But every year we play them close. Do you guys see some offensive changes if we get absolutely blown out and don't score against Florida? I mean, look at Mississippi State. They scored 24 against Georgia. We only scored three against them. Do you think there needs to be an offensive coordinator change or anything like that?
Okay, and I appreciate the phone call, TJ. I think it's a fair question. I mean, you look at Georgia, we didn't perform. You look at Alabama this past weekend, we didn't perform. If you look at Florida this weekend and we don't perform, now granted, those are the three best defenses we saw this season. That's where I have a little bit of a problem with saying, okay, it's time to say goodbye to Eddie Graham.
Yeah, I mean, come on, you played a top 10 team in three out of your last four games.
Yes.
And against Vandy, you put 38 points up.
Right.
Against UT, we put a bunch of points up. I know we get frustrated with some of the play calling sometimes, and even the players sometimes get frustrated with that. But I think overall, I wouldn't be ready to make a change yet.
I think this
season's just been, you know, it's all SEC teams you're playing, first of all. You don't have those easy wins at the front end of your schedule like you normally do.
Right.
So if we had those two wins, it would be, what, a 7-win season probably that we're looking at.
Right. And let's be honest. If we had, in that overtime, beaten Ole Miss, if we had gone and been ready to play Missouri and we'd gotten those two wins, do you think we would feel totally different? I tend to think yes.
Yeah, yeah. So, I still don't know what happened in that Missouri game. That was the biggest disappointment of the season for me.
As much as I know Mark Stoops doesn't want to make any excuses, it's the John Schlarman effect. I'm going to tell you right now, it is. And hearing Mark Stoops talk about not making excuses, just I'm going to repeat what I said in the beginning of the show, but I truly believe this. I believe all of that has had an effect. Chris Oates, John Schlarman, all of this has had an effect on this entire team.
Yeah,
so it has. So you like that excuse, you don't like an excuse, that is reality. That's it. It's not an excuse. That's just the reality of what this team has been through. What do you think about this? The supposedly UK basketball is going to be offering coming out with a new uniform this year. It's going to have everything the same on it, so you're not getting rid of the checkerboards, but it's just going to be a gray version of everything.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. Alternate jerseys.
You like that? Okay. So
I mean, I don't love it, but it's an alternate jersey. They're not going to wear it every game.
Yeah, it is an alternate jersey, but our colors are blue and white. Why do we stray away from that sometimes?
Players like to have fun and wear something that looks different.
Okay. Well, let's do some old school stuff every now and then. Let's go back to an old school Power K. Now, that would be fun. But whatever.
These players don't even remember the Power K.
Exactly. They don't remember a lot of that stuff.
All right, Michael. We'll see you tomorrow.
Have a great day, everybody. We'll see you later.